Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Ben, I want to point out a notable anniversary. Can you guess what it is?
Yes, 5 years.
Of
doing the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had to think about it. I had to do the math. I'm not as good in math as I used to be, Dave. But yeah, 5 years ago, and we owe it all to the great Kevin Lamb. Can we give a shout out to Kevin Lamb?
A shout out to our friend Kevin Lamb.
Yeah, the great Kevin Lamb.
Who is still laboring away in the bowels of government somewhere.
Somewhere, and laboring away as a Green Bay Packer fan, which is, you know.
Some labors are nobler than others.
And that one's solely not noble.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in The Reader on October 11th, 2012, titled, How the Democrats Let Derek Smith Shoot Them in the Foot. And in this article, you portray the recent electoral, I guess you'd call it electoral history, electoral speaking loosely,
yeah,
in the 10th state representative district, starting with the resignation of Representative Ricky Hendon in early 2011. I happen to have here.
Oh, yeah. Look at that map. What a great map.
This is the redrawn 10th district.
If you go like this, it looks like a boot. If you go like this, it looks like a hatchet or a bottle cap.
That's the whole Senate district.
That is correct, Senator.
Above the red line here is just the 10th district.
Okay.
This is the 5th Senate district.
All right.
So it runs roughly on the south end from the Eisenhower Expressway. It's kind of a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
If our listeners want to see this map, they can go to the description of this broadcast at MrRadio.org,
okay. And
they can download that. In this article, you talk of how the Democratic Party decides who will replace someone whose term has been interrupted for whatever reason. So in the case of Representative Hendon, he resigned. The case of Representative Smith, he was ousted by the General Assembly.
Ouch.
An overwhelming vote. I thought it would be a good time for another of one of our civics lessons.
Okay.
When someone is ousted, the party gets to decide who is going to serve out the rest of their term or who might run in the next election.
Right.
And that's the function of the ward committeemen.
That is correct.
So we saw a meeting of ward committeemen to decide over the years of replacing people in 10th district,
yeah.
The committeemen meet. And one of these committeemen is Secretary of State Jesse White, who as the 27th ward committeeman, you write, had the most weighted votes to cast.
Yeah.
Let's expose this a little bit for
okay,
our listeners.
Yeah.
So there's a voting among committeemen, but some votes are more weight.
Some committeemen have more influence than others, and that is determined by what portion of the district their ward fills. So most of the 10th district lies within Jesse White's 27th ward. So as a result, he has a greater vote in determining who gets to replace, in this case, Derek Smith. I think it was the same instance when they were replacing the state senator, Ricky Hendon. It's a weighted vote, and by that I mean it's weighted according to what portion of the district your ward encompasses.
Any idea what that number is for White, what his vote is?
Thankfully, I do not know the answer to that question.
I would be
really in need of psychiatric help if I knew something as obscure as that.
You've never sat in the smoke-filled room.
Well, actually, at one point, I did know the answer to that question. I had never memorized it, but Jesse White's press secretary was really... This is the second time I've written about this, by the way. I don't know if we obviously talked about it before, when initially...
Hendon stepped down.
At some point, somebody, I can't remember if it was Jesse White's press secretary, sent me a press release with the weighted vote. I believe like Scott Wagasback, who's the committeeman of the 32nd Ward, has a sliver of this district. So he has very little weighted vote. Bob Fioretti has some of the weighted vote. Jason Irvin, who's a committeeman from the West Side, has some of the weighted vote. Michael Chandler has some of the weighted vote. But Jesse White is the main player.
He's the bull in the room. He figures prominently in this story, originally a backer of the 10th District, Representative Smith, and Representative, and at that time, Senator Anizette Collins, and a patron of sorts to Alderman Walter Burnett. What do you think of White's influence in both the state and the city legislative bodies, given that he is a member of neither?
This is where you're going to make fun of me again. You know, we've been back and forth on this, on my odd allegiance to the Democrats and the Democratic Party. I personally am a big fan of Jesse White.
Because he can still stand on his head?
You've actually notified me of that feat. I did not know that. You know, I'm a big sports jock. Jesse White was a great baseball player and a great basketball player. He organized the Jesse White Tumblers. He's done a lot for a lot of kids, Cabrini Green over the years. He's run a fairly corruption-clean Secretary of State's office, which is sort of a new thing for the state of Illinois, corruption-clean.
He had a tough act to follow, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, except with George Ryan. And then if we go way back in time, remember Paul Powell, who had the shoeboxes filled with money.
Really, how could he do worse?
Yeah, how could he do worse? So anyway, all right, I'm a fan of Jesse White. I've voted for him many times. That said, he's done a terrible job as ward committeeman in filling these vacancies. What I wrote about is a ripple effect started when Ricky Hendon stepped down. So he should have, in my humble opinion, taken Patricia Van Pelt Watkins and just put her in that position. You know, she had just run a fairly admirable mayoral campaign against Rahm Emanuel. Should have been elected mayor.
I voted for her.
You did? I voted for Miguel de Valle. So
okay.
We're both clean, our conscience. We did not vote for Rahm Emanuel.
Until he comes to one of our fundraisers.
Yes, until he comes to run our fundraisers. He's coming over tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
You've sold out at last. 5 years, finally.
Yeah, he's going to testify to our good character. So he chose Collins largely because she was the state rep from the 10th district. And so by moving her up to state senate, he gets a twofer. He gets to fill two slots. Then he doubled down on that mistake by filling the 10th legislative district slot with Derek Smith, who has no real legislative experience, who doesn't seem to show any great vision for where the state should go.
But he did learn some things quickly.
Yes, he learned something. Well, I don't know. Maybe he knew those already when he came to office.
Allegedly,
yes. Lo and behold, Derek Smith gets caught in a federal sting on tape, allegedly taking a bribe of $7,000. And eventually is, as you said, ousted by a vote of the state legislature. Now, by this time, Derek Smith had won the Democratic nomination in the primary. I love my Democrats. I probably would have voted for him as well. And so now what do you do? He's the Democratic candidate. You know, at this point, my humble opinion, Jesse White should have selected Eddie Winters, who is a police officer who has run for the position before and lives in the district. Instead, he chose a former aide to Todd Stroger, who doesn't live in the district, who is a lobbyist. I find that such a staggering miscalculation, just tripling down on the bad move. So as much as I love Jesse White, and I remain a big fan, and we'll probably vote for him when he runs for re-election, I think he's done a bad job as committeeman in these appointees.
I get the impression that these decisions are based on clout.
I actually don't know what the decisions are based on. For instance, why would he choose Derek Smith over anybody else to fill the vacancy when Collins was moved up? As I've been led to believe, the decision to put Tyson in to run against Smith, remember, they had to create a third party to do this. That decision, allegedly, was orchestrated by Mike Madigan, who likes Tyson because he's a lobbyist. Why he would listen to Mike Madigan and something so local that has such an impact on his ward organization, I don't know. I would like to believe that Jesse White would have the capability to tell Mike Madigan, sorry, please stay out. I don't tell you who to run in the 13th ward when you have a vacancy. And they had one, actually, a couple of years back. It was a little discouraging. The overall point, when I think about it, is how poorly served the West Side really is politically. Part of that is because, you know, Jesse White is not from the West Side. Jesse White's base of operation has been Cabrini Green, which is, as you know, on the North Side. It's a housing project that's been largely dismantled. So as Cabrini Green was demolished and its residents moved out of the area, Jesse White's base of operation moved further west. So you took a North Side politician whose years of experience are lodged in one community, and you've moved him into another community, and there's rivalries that exist. And I just don't think it's served the constituents of the West Side well.
Not that that's ever a criterion for doing this kind,
no,
kind of thing.
Of course, yes.
Let's talk about the ousting that we've mentioned a couple of times. If Smith wins in this coming general election in a few weeks in the 10th district, and then he's convicted, then he has to step down because the law says that he cannot serve.
As a felon, yes.
As a felon, yeah. Meanwhile, no one...
This is so bizarre. I didn't put everything in there because the story was long as it is. But for instance, Eddie Winters, follow me in this, after they nominated Lance Tyson to run as the third-party candidate against Derek Smith so that if he were to win, Lance Tyson, he would hold the seat for the next 2 years, they appointed Eddie Winters to fill the existing term up until the next election.
Winters is currently serving as the state rep.
That is correct, Senator.
I have not read that anywhere.
Here you go with the scoop.
Stop the presses.
And then, bizarrely, going back, I hope our listeners can remember all these names. Van Pelt Watkins ran against Collins in the Democratic primary for state Senate after Jesse White and the committeeman had appointed Collins to replace Hendon. Jesse White then flipped and supported Watkins in that primary, and she defeated Collins. So it's, as I joke, whenever I talk to anybody who's involved in the 10th district, usually people behind the scenes, off the record, we always say, this would make a great movie. It's an example of sort of the peculiar aspect of Chicago politics, where it's very personal and decisions made in back rooms. And, you know, there's so many interesting little developments. The fist fight that almost came to be between Jesse White and Danny Davis, who's the West Side congressman. It's almost like, what do they say? Truth is stranger than fiction.
A lot of drama.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, again, the ousting of Smith in the General Assembly, an overwhelming vote on the part of the members of the General Assembly to oust Smith from his representative seat. How would you have voted in that?
Well, that's a really great question. Okay. I like to think that I have this streak of nihilism that I've discovered in myself. I used to call it a libertarian, but I've been reading a lot of Coen Brothers scripts, so I think I'm a nihilist. I like to think that I would have voted for Derek Smith on the grounds that he hadn't been convicted of anything, so there's no reason to oust him. And beyond that, this is where I probably wouldn't last a day in office if I ever got elected office. I feel like the system, this is what the system created. This is what the system gets. So you want me to do your dirty work and oust the man that you put in? And the voters overwhelmingly voted to keep him. So, I mean, who am I? Now, it's another thing if, you know, he's convicted of his crimes, and I think, well, he has to step down anyway. So I don't know. Would you have voted to oust Blagojevich?
The difference between, and I think we had this conversation briefly once, the difference being, as I see it, that Blagojevich did come before the General Assembly during his impeachment hearings and made his case. So he arguably tried to defend himself. And based on his defense, then the Assembly made a judgment. This may be a very nuanced or subtle distinction.
Very subtle, Smith
was, as I understand it, asked likewise come before the General Assembly and did not.
Did not.
He says, based on the advice of his attorney, because it might work against him in his upcoming trial.
Yes.
Which seems to me his right as a defendant.
Right.
So the General Assembly did not have any of his testimony on which to base their decision, but they went ahead and ousted him anyway.
So where are you going with this? You would have voted against ousting Smith, but for ousting Blago.
Probably.
Okay.
Because Blago chose to come and defend himself.
Wow. That's a very nuanced.
Did you watch his defense? His rambling?
Yeah, so long ago, I can't
remember. Rambling one-hour speech or 45. God bless me, I didn't have any notes.
Yeah, it was quite a feat.
Yeah. If nothing else, he's a talker.
Yeah, he's a great talker, and I probably would have voted against keeping him in after that display.
Only his sister-in-law voted against the impeachment. Yeah.
Debbie Mel. Yeah. But I don't know. Derek Smith, you're right, absent his testimony. I don't know. Maybe the nihilist to me would have voted. You know, again, Blago was elected not once, but twice. So I think the nihilist in me would probably said, you know what, citizens of Illinois, you elected him. This is your guy. So I don't know. You know, Dave, it's so ludicrous to even envision me as an elected official that it's hard to think how I would handle all the pressure that would come. You know, it's easy for us to sit here in this dining room and say, oh, I would do X, Y, Z. How are you going to handle the pressure of, like, Madigan calling you and, you know, Jesse White calling you?
You're giving me an idea for a fantasy legislature game.
Okay.
Where, you know, like fantasy football.
Yeah, yeah.
You represent a certain district and then you draw cards. Oh, Madigan called.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah, now what do I do? Now I fold everything up. Yes, boss. So, I don't know. It's very easy for me to say what I would do if I were elected. It's a lot harder, I think, to stand by it. What a notion, me and the state legislature. First of all, I can't stand leaving the city of Chicago, so I would, like, never be there because, you know, that would require actually.
This would also figure in the game. How many votes you showed up
for?
Yeah,
right. I can't ride my bike down there, so, you know, how would I get there?
You take the train and then bike from the train.
I get you. Yeah, right. I got it all figured out.
Yeah, Amtrak.
Wearing my helmet at all times.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts, you can go to mrradio.org, where you'll find instructions on how to subscribe. so you don't miss a single podcast. And a new website coming soon that will have even more information about the subjects that we're talking about. Or you can go on iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.